Bring back that happy warrior spirit. I'm Scott Ott with Stephen Green and Bill Whittle. This episode of Right Angle brought to you by the members at BillWhittle.com. And gentlemen, I've seen a couple of indicators lately, mostly in comments from our members, in emails that I've received, and in comments on YouTube and Rumble, that there are at least some portion of people who watch these shows who have kind of gotten a little bit down in the mouth about the progress of the battle, so to speak. Some of them seem downright gloom and doom, and they're kind of prepping for the inevitable collapse of society. Others, a little less so that way, but they're just extraordinarily worried or angry or just kind of generally grumpy because of all that they see going on around them. And for most of us, we're seeing that in the mainstream media, and it's I guess Steve Green is kind of ironic because we have a great group of people who believe very little of what they see in the mainstream media and yet become very agitated about it. nevertheless, that's just kind of a strange thing. Nevertheless, I'm wondering, we kind of see ourselves as a band of happy warriors, of people who believe in the time-tested recipe for a joyful society and the best way to get there. And I'm wondering how we can help people who are feeling maybe down about things to see a future that's better than the history that we've had, rather than to just say, hey, yeah, well, it's all going to hell in a handbasket and there's nothing we can do about it. Steve, can you help out?
Well, if you have to go to hell in a handbasket, at least learn to enjoy the ride, right? No, two things come to mind, both from literature, and I think it's probably more important than I realized until just this moment. To get away from the news and read some literature, read some fiction, read some good stuff. It's good for the soul, and that's what we're here for, I think. The first example comes from Atlas Shrugged, and the older I get, the more I realize just how awful that book is. But in between the speeches, there's the occasional just real gem of a scene.
Yep.
And the one that pops to my mind actually quite often, I might have talked about this before, is our heroine Dagny Taggart has finally got a lead on her enemy, the man she believes is destroying the world. And he's just taken off in a small private plane, like a Cessna-sized plane. And she's a pilot, too, and she takes off after him. There's this sky chase where she's trying to catch up to the man destroying the world. And they're over Colorado, and there's this valley, and she doesn't know this. Dagny is unaware that there is a sort of a holographic screen protecting the valley, because all the real heroes of the book have been hiding in this secret valley. And you can't tell because they've got this image generated by some science fiction means. So it just looks like a plain valley. But she saw the plane go down there. She saw the bad guy's plane go down there, and she's going to chase him. Something about that screen shuts off her engine. So after this high-speed aerial chase, her plane is plummeting into this mountain valley, and she crashes. And her enemy, or so she thought, picks her up out of the wreckage. And she can just tell by his face that this is not maybe her actual enemy. And she says, bloody and bandaged, broken leg or something. And she says to him, first thing she says is, we never had to take any of it seriously, did we? And I always think of that scene when stuff gets to be just too down on me. And the other person from literature I always think of is Don Quixote. He fought. And I love the musical version, till your arms are too weary. Yes, he was a little bit crazy, but he was also doing something that he believed in. And I think the battle, at least on an individual level, is just as important as the victory itself.
Bill, you're a great student of entertainment and culture, and you've often referenced characters from movies or books in the past on these shows. And the the kinds of heroic figures that you seem attracted to are those who kind of have a swagger about them and a calm self-confidence that even if they're fighting against some great injustice, they always have this kind of underlying sense that it's a winning battle and that ultimately it'll be worth the fight. And they're not angry the whole time. In fact, they kind of have a sense of eager anticipation and almost a sense of humor about it that they know they're ultimately going to triumph. How is it possible to take on the sort of burden of the daily news weight and still be able to have that kind of confident, happy, joyful swagger?
It's not easy. You know, all the things you talked about earlier, I've never lived in more alarming times. If you love this country, that's the worst shape I've ever seen the country in. And it seems to be accelerating. And so in response to this, I would just say a couple of things. First of all, I feel your pain. I feel your pain. But I do. I wake up every day and I just think, my God, this is just, you know, it's just disintegrating. What I've experienced in life and in history is that history is a series of cycles. And so when you're going up on the top, it never occurs to you that things will start getting worse. And virtually everybody watching this show was born at a time where America was kind of approaching sort of peak America in terms of a lot of ways. And then you get on the downward slope and you think the downward slope leads into the ground, but it doesn't. It's a sine wave and eventually it pulls up and then it goes back up again. And this is the thing, you want to think about it as a circle if you really want to get like, you know, Eastern philosophy on it. If you're on a rotating wheel, when you're at the very top of the wheel, there's nowhere else to go but down. When you're at the very bottom of the wheel, there's nowhere else to go but up. And so a bit of perspective in that helps. The main reason I try to stay cheery about this is because I understand that despair and disengagement is the objective. That's the enemy objective. And one of my primary motivators in life is never give the people that are fighting against me what they want if I can possibly help it. And dejection and mostly detachment, this abandonment of the fight, the sense that this happy coincidence, the Moving Back to America that I just shot prior to this show is about social proof and about ways to get around social proof. But if everything you hear is that everything is going to hell, then you're tempted to believe it. And one of the reasons that we're here is to not negate all that stuff because it's all real. It's just awful. It's just awful to watch. But you really do have to ask yourself, I think this is what helps me, is has it ever been this bad in this country? And my feeling, I would say, is at least it's been this bad twice. It was certainly this bad before the Civil War. And we're still here. And there's very few people who actually remember this now. But I suspect it felt this bad on December 8th of 1941. When we were facing monumental mechanized destruction and actual slavery and genocide on a worldwide scale. And in the months after December 7th, the Japanese, it wasn't just one day, the Japanese just rolled over everything for 6 months. Just nothing stopped them. They were unbeatable. Same for the Germans. But they were beatable and turned out that's it. One of the things that gives me the most confidence about all this is my look at American history shows that every time that we get punched in the mouth in the beginning, we end up winning the fight. And we've been getting culturally, we've been getting quite a big punch in the mouth. I think the ultimate thing I'll say, Scott, is simply this. Unlike with the Nazis or even with the Confederates or the Union, depending on your point of view, we're not facing people with rifles. They have no actual authority over what we do. The censorship that goes on with these videos is heartbreaking. When I look at the numbers for things like this particular show, it's heartbreaking. And it's designed to be heartbreaking. I mean, we were doing 40, 50,000 views on average, and then it drops to 7. And then we bring it back up to 30 or 40, drops to 7 again. And it is heartbreaking. And it makes me want to just throw in the towel. And And when you realize that that is the strategy, then you can kind of climb above this sense of despair and depression and resignation. Because then you can realize that we are not in a shooting war. We're in a psychological war. We're in a warfare that consists of narratives and stories and information and morale. That's the word I'm looking for. We are in a morale war. And the left is trying everything they can to destroy our morale, and they've been doing it for 50 years. Now we see the results of all this. But I'm not going to give them what they're looking for. I'm just not. We did a show with Zoe not too long ago where he said he draws a line in the sand and he stays behind that line and he'll step over that line to go out and fight. But at the end of the day, he comes back behind that line, spends time with his wife, and doesn't let these clowns, these traitors, these control freaks, these fascists ruin his life. He understands there's a time to fight, and then he steps back and he doesn't let them touch them. That's a luxury that they didn't have in Nazi Germany or in China or in the Pacific. And have the luxury of being able to say, I'm going to stop fighting at 6 p.m. and then I'm going to withdraw to my family. The guys around Iwo Jima fought 24 hours a day and there was no escape. And the same for the guys in Bastogne and everywhere. We have the ability to remove ourselves from this conflict for as long as we need. It's kind of like an instant trip to the rear, you know, and anyone will tell you that this is necessary. I'll just close with a statement of Abraham Lincoln, which doesn't really apply to war, but I think of all the people I've ever met in my life, Glenn Reynolds seems to really understand this because he goes scuba diving in the Cayman Islands quite a bit. Abraham Lincoln said, if I had six hours to chop down trees, I'd spend 4 hours sharpening my axe. And I thought, okay, that's really what it comes down to. If you feel that you're just so constantly enraged and disappointed and distressed and discouraged, then you've been swinging at the tree too long. And it's time to just put it away for a while. Go back, sharpen the axe. That doesn't mean give up, and it doesn't mean surrender. It doesn't mean walk away. It means come back more efficient. And the more efficient you are, the better we can fight these people. Let's not forget that these people are not very smart. They're not very brave. They're extremely good at telling lies and telling stories, and we start to believe them like any other humans. But the whole thing is a tale. It's a tale told by a bunch of idiots full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. And if you can get to that place, then they have no power over you. And when they have no power over you, they lose.
There are a lot of guys at work who, probably in your workplace as well, who spend a lot of time talking about sports, the games they saw this weekend, the games that are coming up next weekend, who they think is going to do what. And it's amazing to me often how knowledgeable and passionate these people are about something with which they have virtually no connection, other than they turn on the tube and they watch it happen on a screen. But they talk as if they were partial owners of the team, and somehow their words were going to affect the destiny of the organization or what happens on the gridiron, for example. And sometimes I think politics gets that way too. It becomes a game that everybody's interested in talking about. And one of the things I've noticed about the two sort of major views of society is that one of them is largely a view that's grounded in talk, and the other is a view that's grounded largely in action. Because if you've got a utopian view of society that says that people will set aside their own self-interest in order to, for example, equally divide the profits from their labors among all of their neighbors, then you have conjured a fantasy that makes a lovely story for a book or a movie, but it just cannot function in reality. On the other side, if you're among the people of action, then you don't have to talk. What you need to do is to take action, is to do things, is to follow your principles in the direction that they naturally lead. And so as I look at the negative stuff that's in the news and realize that my brothers in the journalism profession only make money if they can gin up a conflict. They only can make money if they can make a bad guy and a good guy and have you hanging on to see which guy's going to win. if you just brush that aside and start planning for your own future and saying, okay, what am I going to do with my family? Do we want to go on that vacation to the Cayman Islands where we can go snorkeling? Do we want to start a business? Do we want to have another child? Do we want to travel the country and see the sights and visit all the historical places in the United States? If you put your focus on the positive things that you want to do with your future, if you dedicate yourself to learning and growing and going and doing all of those things, then you find that the recipe for a happy society actually bakes a happy society. It really works. And when you live out that expression of our fundamental view of governance, when you actually participate in the free markets, when you actually live the freedom, you become an exemplar of your ideas, not just a talking head. You're not just jabbering about it, but you're out there having fun and doing it and taking a risk and trying something and failing and getting up and trying it again. And so what I found in my life is when I have become depressed, it's because I don't have a focus. I don't have a vision. I don't have a direction that I'm headed. I don't have a project that I'm working on. And I can, you know, then I start like, you know, shoveling chocolate in my head. So if you've got to that point where you feel, or maybe you're hearing from others, maybe you don't realize it yet, but you're hearing from others that you seem kind of down and that you seem kind of angry and that you're always worried or that you're fearful of something, maybe it's time to get a hold of something that can light you up again. Maybe it's time to find a project that you can invest in. Maybe it's time to start a business or get involved in a not-for-profit organization or coach a little league team or do something that can get you involved with real people who are not just jabbering about the news as if it's some sort of sport. So there are basically two elements to my recipe for being a happy warrior, if you want to call it that. Number one is make a plan for a better future. And number two is know who controls the future. My brothers and sisters, all your worrying and anger and angst is not making the planet spin around. There is a much greater force in the universe than you, and a little humility can bring you a lot of joy. For Bill Whittle and Stephen Green, I'm Scott Ott. Thanks to the members at BillWhittle.com for making Right Angle possible.